I can hear my Savior calling, it is time now, come on home.
Let me tune for a second.
And
we tune because we care, I promise.
Banjos especially do not like winter weather. It is very harsh. Now, mandolin, on the other hand, holds its tune like a champ. Thank you all for coming out today. Thanks for having us come out today. We're really excited to be here with you. We are the Patricks, some by blood, some by law. Here in the middle, tuning the banjo, is Daniel Patrick. His sister, Samantha Patrick, is over there on the guitar and vocals. I want to make it very clear, the distinction, who's married to who. If we don't get that straight, it gets weird. Samantha Patrick Illingworth over here on the guitar, and she is married to our bass player, Dominic Illingworth, not Dominic Patrick Illingworth.
The one with the weird last name.
My name is Abby Patrick. I am Daniel's wife.
Lovely wife.
And together we are the Patricks.
That's right.
Here we are.
Here we are. Are you going to sing the next one?
Yeah, if you want me to.
Okay.
Beautiful land, which I'll reach when the sun goes down.
try to choose songs that make you think a little bit, and the last one, will there be any stars in your crown, you know, kind of makes you think just how you live each and every day, and our reward that, you know, we store up so much on earth, and it's so temporary, you know, and our real reward is going to be in heaven, so.
Amen.
CD. We put it out, I guess, a year or a year and a half ago or something. Has a few of the songs we're doing here this morning. So if you want to stop by and say hey to us, we'll have it out front. We only have a little bit of them left. We're going to be doing a new CD after the first of the year. So get this one while you can. Beating down your door for it. It'll be all over eBay and everything else, I'm sure, in a couple of years.
Where'd you say Goodwill?
Yeah. Goodwill. Yeah,
yard sales across the country.
Yeah.
Or should I say across the state of Ohio?
Right. They make excellent coasters when they wear out.
They do. Yes.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Master of the Sea.
Oh,
couple minutes here to tell you why the Patricks are here today. And raise your hand if you've ever seen us before anywhere. Anyone want?
Come on!
That's why you're here. Yeah.
If you don't like us, you know who to blame. Oh, I'm teasing, of course. But I first want to say that we're thankful to be here. Yeah. I feel that today is special and that we're here for a reason. We're here because the Lord has given us some musical ability. He's given us talents to sing, and he gets all the credit, number one.
Amen.
We're here because of the Lord, and we're here to glorify his name. That's what it's all about for us. Mark 16:50, in the Great Commission, Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says, "And go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is why we are here.
Yeah.
If we can preach the gospel of Jesus, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, then we're going to do it. And if we can use guitars and banjos and mandolins and basses and eggs, we'll use everything we can.
Praise the Lord. Right there.
That's right.
Yes.
Then we believe that's what the Lord wants us to do. As long as we're glorifying his name, that good news is why we're here. I'm thankful we have good news this morning.
Amen.
Instead of bad news. Yeah. You turn on the TV and you watch the news, it's always bad. You never see good stuff. But every breathing human being on this earth has good news because Jesus came and died.
Amen.
It's the ultimate sacrifice for your sins and my sins. The ultimate sacrifice. We have the good news, the free gift of eternal security. We have salvation. We know that we have the home in heaven that he's prepared for us.
Amen.
And that's really why we're here today. I won't go too long, I promise. This next song is called "Let Me Tell You About Jesus."
Sinner, now my soul has been set free.
time for about one more. And thank you all for listening. This is the Far Side Banks of Jordan. I believe we're going to close on.
Make sure you get by and grab one of those CDs for sure. Pay for it first, but get one of those CDs and get on their social media page too. Make sure you follow that and like them. And let's give them another hand this morning, amen. All right. Well, why don't you stand with us and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, this morning. Philippians chapter number 4 today. And I told you I will be mindful of my time. But after singing that good, we got to have some preaching too, right? Philippians 4 and beginning in verse number 10. Throughout the month of November, it's Family Month here at LBC, and our series has been Making Home Work in a Broken Society. Making Home Work in a Broken Society. And today we're going to look at cultivating contentment in a consumerist culture. That's a mouthful. Cultivating contentment in a consumerist culture. Philippians 4, beginning in verse number 10. The Word of God says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." In verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Father, as we spend now this time where we look to your word, as we reflect on the songs that we've heard, Lord, and the messages behind them today, I pray, God, that if there's someone here who is not saved, they would find satisfaction in your Son, the only source of contentment that we can truly have. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, last Wednesday, most folks had left the church here, and there were just a handful of us left. And Johnny Brown was one of those guys who was here. And we've come to find out that Johnny lost his key. And his car key is separate from his other keys. Okay? So, just like when you lose something, you kind of do a flyover, and then you realize, oh, like I really did lose this, you know? And so come to find out, Johnny, I mean, couldn't find it. And so we start looking everywhere and retracing his steps and we're looking here in the sanctuary, we're looking in the classroom, anywhere Johnny would be, maybe the bathroom, by the refrigerator, anywhere that you might find Johnny Brown. And we come in here to the sanctuary, and we're there's probably four or five of us kind of looking around, and it's lost. And we're like detectives in here. We're asking, hey, you know, where's the last, retrace your steps, where's the last place you saw it? Have you made any enemies? You know, all these questions. And we're on our hands and knees crawling throughout the sanctuary, looking, you know, between the cracks of the seats and all around, and we just can't find this thing. And it's the only key that you have to the vehicle, right? Or only one that he had. So we think, well, maybe it's outside. So we go outside. Of course, it's nighttime. It's 10 degrees outside. But we love Johnny. So we're looking for this key, and we have our phone lights out. We're searching everywhere. I mean, every square inch of like where he might have walked, and we cannot find this thing. So Johnny goes over to his car, and he's able to actually get into his car. And he has one of the push start cars. So he pushes it, and it starts, which means the key has to be close by, okay? And so we think it's got to be in the car. And thank God Johnny cleans his car, because we're in there just digging through, looking at every crack and crevice, looking under the seat, behind the seat. Somebody's got their headlights on, you know, in the parking lot trying to shine at that. Can't find it. And so, you know, Johnny, you check your pockets. He's checking his pockets. We just cannot find this car, or this key. So I think it was Blake Riffle had the idea, what if Johnny drove somewhere else in the parking lot, turned off the car, and then tried to start it again? If it starts, then it's in the car. If not, then it's got to be outside somewhere by the car. So he kind of pulls away. He steps out of his car, and then he notices a little message on, like, you know, his little display that says, key not in vehicle. So then Johnny gets back in the car. The message goes away. He gets out of the car. Key not in vehicle. He takes his jacket off. He throws it into the car. The message goes away. So we grab his jacket. We're trying to feel, did it slip through the, you know, a hole in the pocket, and it's back in. And sure enough, on the side of his arm, there's a little zipper, and nestled away safely has been Johnny's key the whole time. And we found it. All right. Now, first, I'm just glad that we found the key, all right? Second, I'm glad I get to tease Johnny about it now. But I think there's sort of a message that we can take from this, that sometimes what you really need you have all along, right? And as we're talking about contentment today, I think the message really is the same. You're not going to find contentment, and most people think if I just had this, something else, then I would have contentment, friend. But I think for the believer, you're going to find that you already have everything you need to be content. Now, why are we talking about contentment in Family Month? Well, contentment is very important in families. One, contentment is a major destroyer of relationships. Where one party or another feels dissatisfied with their spouse or with their partner, and that can lead to the breakdown of any relationship. It's important for our kids because our children today are becoming more and more consumed with possessions and things. And they are finding their identities in their stuff that they have, and they're finding their worth in name brands. And so where are we at today? Well, everything in the advertising world is created to make you discontent. Did you know that? Every advertisement is created to convince you that what you have is not good enough. And if you just had this, whatever this is, then you would be happy, then you would have joy in your life, and then you would be satisfied. And yet people today believe the lie that you could be content if you had more things. Some people think, well, if my circumstances were different, then I would be content. But remember, when your circumstances were different, you weren't content then either. And we think that maybe if we had a different job or we lived in a different place or maybe we were surrounded by different people or in a different environment or having a different partner, then we would have contentment. Some people think contentment comes from the absence of problems. I got news for you. Ain't none of us ever going to have contentment if it's from the absence of problems because we're always going to have problems, right? Now, Philippians 4:13 comes into play here because people will take this verse and they will actually use it to feed their discontentment in life. And they will use it really for the opposite of its intended purpose. It's a very popular verse. I'm sure most of you could either paraphrase this verse to me before I read it, before we read it this morning. But because it's so popular, that means it has a chance of getting misused and sort of abused. And used in a way that the author did not intend for it to. People will take this verse and they will use it as a way to get out of any bad situation that they're in. You're in a difficult situation. I can do all things through Christ. Bam, I can get out of that situation. You're in a difficult circumstance. I can do all things through Christ and I can get out of it. You're in a tough financial situation. I can do all things through Christ. He can make me rich. Right? People will even use this for illness, maybe when they're ill or sick. They'll say, well, if I just pray enough and if I just have enough faith, I can do all things through Christ and God will heal me. We use this for football games, don't we? And we think, you know, well, the other team is, they're better, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, they're better looking than us, but we can do all things through Christ. We can win this game. And then you get whooped. That is not what this verse means. People take this verse and they use it to say, I can win. I can get out of any bad situation and I can win through the strength of Christ. However, this verse is telling us even when we lose, we can still be content because of the power of Christ. And really, this verse gets taken out of context. Look back to verse 11 and 12 with me very quickly this morning. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the believers in Philippi, and he says this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Verse 12, "For I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, no matter my situation, I can be content in that circumstance. And you think, Paul, how is this possible? Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's very simple. And look, Paul says, I have learned to be content. That means he was taught a lesson. And look, we got to be careful what we pray for sometimes. If we say, Jesus, help me to be content. He may answer that prayer, friend. He may give you exactly what you've asked for. Because this is not learned in a classroom. And it's not learned overnight. It's learned from being abased. You see? It's learned from being brought low. And the hard part is, we must learn contentment. So God may just teach us that through experience. You been there? And sometimes you're just in it, like in the valley, deep in the valley. And then one of God's wonderful children will come along and say something like, well, could be worse. You know? Don't you love those people? And God bless them, but well, it could be worse, you know? And you're thinking, I wish it was worse for you. Yeah. That's, and basically we're thinking, that's easy for you to say. We know. It could always be worse. Amen. But look, we know. But that's kind of easy. We look at somebody else and it's like, well, you know, just be content. It could be worse. It's like, well, nothing's going wrong in your life. That's why you can say that. The Apostle Paul is not sitting up on his high horse here looking down in his, you know, best life now saying, well, just be content. Yeah. Do you understand where he's writing this from? See, as Paul is writing these words that we are reading today, he is chained to a Roman guard. He's in prison. Friend, not only is he in prison, he's despised by the world. Christians were falsely accusing him. And on top of that, he could be executed at any time. Beheaded, Queen of Hearts, off with his head. At any moment, he could die. And it's from that, in the prison, Paul says, be content. Be content. It was John F. Kennedy that said, don't pray for easier lives, pray to be stronger men. You know, the context of that gives these words even more weight, right? He's in prison. Christ enables you to be content in every situation. Listen, Paul is talking about the material world. And he says, no matter what happens to me in the material world, I can be content because of spiritual strength through Christ. Whatever happens outside of me, I can deal with it and be satisfied because of what has happened inside of me, and that is the work of Christ. Notice what he says in verse 11. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know what that teaches us? Your contentment is not based on your circumstances. It's not based on your situation. As a matter of fact, there may be someone here today who is in a terrible situation, and yet they have more contentment than someone who's maybe in a great situation. It's not based on situation, it's based on your attitude and your obedience to Christ. Verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Look, God may very well bring us low so that we will look up to him. And he just might bring us to the place of being abased so that we trust in him. Paul experiences firsthand. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Here's the words of Paul. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, so that I wouldn't think too much of myself, I was given this thorn in the flesh. You say, well, what's he talking about? Some believe this had to do with Paul's vision. Others believe it was a person that oppressed or persecuted him. I like what Terrell Hudson said. He said, we make it to heaven and we say, Paul, what was the thorn? And Paul may say, it was a thorn. That's all it was. And I couldn't get that sucker out. And man, that hurt. And but whatever it was, listen, it was important enough to Paul that verse 8 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Whatever it was bad enough that it caused Paul to call out to the Lord three times, God, take this away, Lord, please take this away. And God said, no. And maybe you've prayed or cried out to the Lord in a similar prayer. Lord, please, this is too much, Lord. Please take this away. I can't handle this. I can't bear it, God. Please take it away. But listen, God has a message for you this morning, just like he had a message for Paul in the very next verse, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Listen, even when we feel like we don't have enough or it's too much, his grace is enough. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It kind of gives you the idea that had he not had the infirmities, that the power of Christ would not have rested on him. When we are strong, that's typically when we don't trust in the Lord. When we don't suffer need, we usually put trust on ourselves and not in Christ. But when we are weak, he is made strong in our life. When we are brought low, he is exalted through us. Let me put it this way. Do you know someone who has a pacemaker? Maybe know someone who has a pacemaker? How does a pacemaker work? It only kicks in when the heart doesn't work right, right? It's a sustaining power. Follow me on this. As long as the heart functions properly, the pacemaker doesn't do anything. They don't need it. But if the heart doesn't function properly, then the pacemaker takes over, doesn't it? Now listen to what John MacArthur said. There is a sense in which we have this resource, this reservoir of spiritual power that moves into action when we come to the end of our own resources. When we are weak, he is made strong in us. When you come to the end of yourselves, Christ becomes strong in you. And we may never experience this type of spiritual power unless we are willing to be abased, to suffer need, to be content. Now, however, a word of caution. For everyone in this room, if you are living in disobedience to God's word, do not expect contentment. Look, maybe you say, Pastor, this is me. I'm at the end of myself here. I've run out of resources, but I have no contentment at all. Be sure of this, friend. You can't live a life of sin and expect to be satisfied. And at the same time, not only will God bring you to the end of yourself, but he also may bring chastening while you're there. Even when we are at the end of ourselves, he is strong in us. Look, I love the way that Paul ends the letter. We're almost done. Look at verse 21 of Philippians 4. This is good. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. He says, basically, see you later, or I'll talk to you later. All the Christians that are with me, they say hi. But look at the next verse, verse 22. All the saints salute you. Chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. You notice what happened? Every day, a Roman soldier would come and they would unchain the previous soldier, and then they would chain themselves to Paul. That wasn't a problem for Paul. That was a problem for the soldier. Because, you know, he is preaching the gospel to that soldier, whoever it is, a new one every day, and he is sharing Christ with them. He's sharing his testimony. And guess what was happening? The gospel was spreading, and Caesar's household was being evangelized so that some of them were getting saved, even in Caesar's household. They're trying to stop Paul, so they chain him up, and the gospel ends up spreading among Caesar's household. Paul says, I can be content. He's in prison, facing execution. He says, I can be content. Why? He had this simple mindset. If what I am going through can bring glory to God or lead a lost person to Christ, then it is worth it. And brothers and sisters, I will go through it and be content. Amen. I will be content. Verse number 12, back in Philippians 4:12, just a little phrase I want to pluck out of here. It's kind of toward the bottom there. It says, everywhere and in all things. Everywhere and in all things. You said, Pastor Nate, you just don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what Paul's going through, but you don't know what I'm going through, the things that I'm going through. It says, everywhere and in all things. Now, what things is Paul talking about? Well, just to paraphrase from another book, 2 Corinthians, he lists some of the things that he went through. Let me just repeat some of them. He said stripes. He was lashed. Beaten with rods. Stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. A night and the day he was in the deep. Perils of water. Robbers. Heathens. Wilderness. Weariness. Pain. Hunger. Thirst. Cold. Nakedness, in all those things, he says, I am content. You say, how is that possible? Stick with me on this, all right? He says, in all those things, I can be content. How could he be content after going through all of those things? Romans 8:28 tells us why. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How could he be content in all things? Here's why. No matter what happens, listen to me. There is a God in heaven who loves you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He sees the tears that you cry. And that omnipotent God is taking all things in the universe and working them together for your good, Christian. That's why you can be content. That's why you can be satisfied. Now, for the unbeliever here today, maybe you're not a Christian. You have not been born again. And maybe after you died, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. Let me tell you something. I know exactly what you're going through right now. You can't find contentment. You have no satisfaction in your life. You try to pour yourself into work, but it doesn't do it. You invest yourself into gaining money, pleasure, relationships, hobbies, and no matter what you try, you still find yourself empty. You say, Pastor Nate, how did you know that? Because I was there, friend. And listen, you are trying to draw from a well that has been dry for a very, very long time. And yet Jesus said that he is the living water, and all those who come to him will thirst no more. If we repent of our sins and put our faith in him, listen to me, no matter your circumstance, your soul will be satisfied. And you can have contentment. But until you turn to him, you will spend your entire life, as Solomon did, searching for meaning in things that were never intended to give it to you.
And just like Solomon, at the end of your life, you'll stand empty-handed and say, vanity of vanities, all is nothing. It's meaningless. And yet, for believers today, let me close with this verse. Psalm 23 in verse number 1. This is a very familiar chapter to you. You could probably quote this verse. But I'm just going to read the first verse because it is so wonderful what the Lord is teaching us here. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. What's he say? I shall not want. I am content. I am satisfied that in whatever situation I am in, I am satisfied because the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? And I invite you to stand, and if you would, bow with me. And with every head bowed and every eye closed,